truth and love are inseparable, right? There is no love without truth. There is no truth without love. In most cases, the better question is not what is truth, but what is not truth, because it's a lot easier to discern what is not truth.
I just think self-knowledge is the foundation of all knowledge. And so, you know, do you know who you are? Do you know this gift of life that you've been given?
Like, relationship is probably the greatest teacher. I primarily know myself, and probably the most important lessons that I've learned in my life have come through the vessel of relationship.
We just keep choosing each other every day. It's not always perfect. And then we deal with things as they come up. All in all, it's like we've chosen partnership. We've chosen this container. And mm-hmm. So what do we do to nurture that on top of each individual doing what they need to do to nurture themselves and take care of themselves?
You have to value growth more than you value comfort.
It's okay to struggle. It's okay to go two steps forward and one step back. It's okay for things not to be perfect.
Once it feels harder to love, that's when the work of love really begins.
Welcome home to the Loving Consciously podcast. My name is Amaris.
And my name is Eric.
And if you are like us, nobody taught you how to love. We are best friends and life partners here to vulnerably and authentically share our journey while exploring the sacred realms of love, consciousness, relationships, spirituality, and all that they encompass.
The intention of this show is to help you consciously relate to yourself, others, and everything else in this universe. Together, we can embody a more intentional and fulfilling way of giving and receiving love.
Loving consciously. Through 8 years together, we have had the opportunity to overcome deep patterning and programming, as well as trauma related to mental health, addiction, pregnancy loss, infidelity, and immense grief. After 6 years of experiencing these challenges with no knowledge on how to heal or love each other, we separated.
After us both spiritually awakening and recommitting, we formed our conscious partnership and have spent the last 2 years cultivating a divine union founded on unconditional love, devotion, and commitment to personal growth.
Thank you for joining us and doing the work alongside us as we explore this beautiful world of love and consciousness to co-create a new world of love.
As you courageously walk this path, remember to have grace with yourself and know that you have both the capacity to love consciously and the power to always choose love.
Namaste and welcome back to the Loving Consciously podcast. We are so excited today. We have our very first mashup with another incredible podcast. We are so excited and honored to have Joel and Eurosimos, I hope I got that right, here with us from Here for the Truth, which is an amazing podcast that I will let you two describe because you're going to do a much better job than I would. But welcome both of you to the show. And we'd love it if you could just tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and maybe about your podcast.
Joel, why don't you kick us off?
I'll kick us off. Sure. Yeah. No worries. Yeah, I'm Joel Rafiti, I guess. We started Here for the Truth in the beginning of 2021. Obviously, we've been both on our individual journeys. For me, things started shifting around 2015 and then another catalyst in 2020. But yeah, basically very synchronistically met Eurosimos, realized we were aligned in so many areas of our lives. We both wanted to start a podcast. We both wanted to share a similar message. We both wanted to have conversations with other people. And yeah, Here for the Truth is basically about thinking for yourself and becoming who you were born to be. And we firmly believe that every single human being on this planet has a unique purpose that is uniquely theirs, which is meant to unfold in their life. And we think, well, I'll speak for both of us, that like the primary goal and objective of this experience is to cultivate and nurture that unique purpose and bring it forth and build the internal qualities and learn the tools necessary for you to be able to walk the truly authentic path. Because there's so much conditioning at play, so much programming, so many ways in which we've been taught to act against ourselves, act against our own self-interest, and not even know about ourselves or know who we are on a deeper level. And so, yeah, ultimately, we're here to inspire others to walk their authentic path. And I think that's the path to true fulfillment.
Well said, bro. I don't really have much to add, except I love being a human being. I love experiencing everything that life has to offer. I've been on a personal development path for, I would say, a good amount of time, probably starting in the mid, I would say after I graduated college, actually, in 2002. But things that really got me curious about the bigger picture was obviously 9/11 hit me hard. I was a junior in college at that time, and then once all the stuff started coming out initially around 9/11, it got me curious. And then I had one of my first acting mentors. I was an actor in a previous aspect of my life. He was a big questioner of things, and he had turned me on to Dr. Carey Mullis's autobiography, Dancing Naked in a Minefield. And Dr. Carey Mullis is the individual who won the Nobel Prize for PCR, and PCR was used as the, I guess, the backdrop of all the false cases during COVID, which of course he had spoken out against Fauci and the establishment for a very long time. So that got me really curious about the ancestral relationship between the scientific community, the mainstream media, government, allopathic system, et cetera. And then from there on, I just kind of, you know, kept pulling at the threads. We've been really into personal development, psychology, and just supporting people to, you know, stop bullshitting themselves and live a better, more full life. I think that's what it comes down to. Like, where are you bullshitting yourself in your life? Where are you lying to yourself? Are you real as fuck or are you not real as fuck? And I think that's where it needs to start. And if a person can't even go there and take responsibility and accept where they're at, then, you know, where does that path take them after that? So I love Joel. He's a brother to me. I love what we've created the last 3.5 years. We're just getting started. And it's amazing to connect with, you know, similar minded people. You know, I wouldn't say like we all share all the same views, but similar minded people, and build amazing communities where we honor our individuality first and foremost, and then of course respect others as well. And I think that's how we're forward in life. And I think the biggest area of growth, and I think it's evident today, the day after the election, is that we still live in a very emotionally immature society and a highly dysregulated society. And so the real work that's needed has to happen on a somatic and emotional level to move the needle forward.
I love how you're like, I don't have anything to add except he's like
except seven minutes. Here's all the ad, yeah.
No, that was really funny. I was thinking that too, Joel. No, that was beautiful, both of you. You know, thank you so much for being here.
Once I get started sometimes, you know, yeah, I'm like, good.
You're born to be a podcaster, I could tell. Well, you know, we're here for the truth. And, you know, to us, the highest truth is love. And I love so much that you brought up authenticity. It's something you both talk about a lot in your content. And really what made me fall in love with you listening to you speak at Music and Sky. It's something we're really passionate about on this show. That was kind of the core of our journey in waking up, was like really sitting down with, I don't even know who the hell I am or what I believe. Like everything about me is a lie or a projection or what I was told to believe. And so like deconstructing that. I love that you brought up the election. This is being recorded the day after, and I'd love to get into that. But before we do, we have an intro question that we ask all of our guests on the show. You can, either one of you that wants to go first, but we ask everyone, what does loving consciously look like in your life?
Well, the two words that come up for me is truth and discernment. I don't think you can, you cannot, truth and love are inseparable, right? There is no love without truth. There is no truth without love. And so truth has to be the foundation of loving consciously, of building any authentic relationship, of, you know, yielding fruit from any connection that we have in our lives. But at the same time, I think that can be taken to an extreme where it's like the truth, whatever truth I'm feeling internally within me at any given moment in time, just needs to be blurted out and put out on the table. And it's the only way to move forward. And so I think there's discernment and awareness that's required of ourselves and of our inner worlds, and of our emotional nature as human beings, in order to cultivate the truth in a loving way. Each moment, each circumstance, each relationship requires a different presentation or a different way to convey the truth. Like, and ultimately, the goal of loving consciously is to connect to the other person. So through understanding ourselves and understanding the other person, then we're able to convey the truth in a more loving way.
I don't have much to add.
Here we go again.
What do I think loving consciously means? Well, I think you have to have a high level of self-awareness. Mm-hmm. You just have to. And you have to be attentive and aware of others also, you know, because there is always this interpersonal dance that's happening. I think you have to have a deep self-understanding and knowledge of the human psyche and interpersonal psychology to some degree. This is my view. I think you have to have done work to create some balance within your own system. and have built greater capacity within your nervous system. Because if your partner says something to you and you have all these old wounds you haven't faced or dealt with, or if your body just isn't in a healthy state, then how are you going to react? You know, but even so, even if you are in a place where you're bickering and you're arguing and you're having these moments, how do you repair? I think repair has to be a real important element of loving consciously. It's not about roses and rainbows and butterflies and everything being great and love and light. And oh my God, we're fucking, you know, on cloud nine all the time. It's like, how do you communicate? And when things don't go ideal, you know, in quotes, you know, what happens afterwards? You know, do you take responsibility as an individual? Does your partner take responsibility? And then when each person takes responsibility and maybe has stepped away and has self-reflected and has gone to a place that's maybe like not as triggered, how do you come back together and dialogue on the things going on? To add to what Joel said, like those are some things that I think are important around loving consciously.
Yeah. My favorite definition of love is by the psychologist M. Scott Peck. And he said to love is to be interested in the development of another's spiritual being, right? Mm-hmm. And so like, what are the things that move that needle forward?
I love that. And, you know, that was a beautiful ad, Erasmus. Thank you for the very little bit that you added there. you know, something that really stood out to me in both of y'all's responses is this kind of fundamental basis of truth and authenticity. Because what I'm hearing is that first we have to be honest with ourselves to even kind of broach the understanding of ourselves. And then authenticity is living from that honest place and being able to communicate that with others. And if we can be honest with ourselves and the people that we are in relationship with, whether that's romantic, whether it's friendly, whether it's familial, then that's where the healing happens. That's when those repairs happen, is when we can actually speak from an authentic place of truth with a desire to return to love.
It makes me think so much, like I was hearing it in my head, our motto here, you know, our motto is awaken, heal, love, right? Like first you have to wake the hell up, right? And to like remember who you are, or even realize, oh my gosh, like I'm living in this, you know, matrix, inauthenticity. We can use so many words. And then, like you said, repair, right? You have to like heal your stuff, whatever that looks like in whatever way that works. And that's my favorite part because it's so diverse, right? There's like an infinite amount of paths to doing that. And then it's choosing that love. And, you know, we talk a lot on the show about how warped the view of love is in this world. You know, love is always being by someone's side, or love is putting family first. Like we have all of these very antiquated and unsuccessful narratives around what love is. I really love the one you shared, Joel. You touched on the election, and it's interesting what you were saying about nervous system regulation, because it's exactly what I was, you know, I was kind of scrolling social media this morning, just kind of doing a tip check. And I was like, wow, like the, I mean, just also the division, but truly like the lack of the ability to regulate. You know, there is quite literally a very large percentage of our population right now that thinks that like the world has just ended, and there's just, yeah, that lack of emotional maturity. And so I'm curious what y'all's perspectives are on, you know, day after the election, right? And maybe your advice to people, as, you know, our audience like tends to, you know, be people that are really consciously on a path of choosing love. And so either one of those routes you want to take it, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I think ultimately we're going to be okay. You know, like I think I have compassion, because you have to understand, a person looks at the world and sees the events through certain ideological lenses. Mm. So like I get how some people are freaking out. If you look at the world in a certain way, or if you look at a politician or a group of people that voted for that politician in a certain way and you don't feel safe, I mean, what's your response going to be? You know? So I understand that on one level, but it still goes back to what is the level of emotional intelligence and what's going on in your system. Like if most people really were honest with themselves and they look back 20, 30 years, who the president was, like how much of their day-to-day life has really been impacted? You know what I mean? So now I do think we're in a very unique time in American history, I think in the world. So, you know, something does feel a little different about this specific election. But generally speaking, it's like every 4 years, there's this like people get hypnotized on like this is my guy, this is per or my woman, I'm with her, you know, is going to change the whole world. And like, I don't know. I just, my advice to people is like, get off your fucking computers and your phones and go hug your dog or hug the people you love and go for a walk and read a book and like, I don't know, or maybe even like sit on your couch without any distractions and wonder and be curious about why the fuck you're freaking out and feeling the way you're feeling and having the reactions you're having and why you're viewing 50 something percent of the population in the way that you're viewing them. And this goes for both sides at some on some level. You know, people just get so taken over by certain ideas. And I'm not sitting here saying that I'm perfect, that I like am like this like highly ascended being that can, you know, live in detachment of like things that are going on, you know, from that standpoint. But like, don't know. That's my advice. I know I went on a little tangent, but that's what I have to say.
We asked. We're here for it. Joel, what do you think?
What's the crux of the question? What's my advice to people who are freaking out right now?
Yeah, I mean, well, I just think everybody right now, because, you know, like Erasmus was saying, like we're just living through such a palpable moment of history, and you can just the division, you know, and this, yeah, the I think the mixed messages, like we're kind of seeing all these different camps of people. And so I would lo just love your perspective, your advice, you know, what you think maybe can help people kind of return to that baseline.
Well, it's hard to offer advice to people who aren't interested in being more conscious in their day-to-day life, right? Because nothing is ever really going to land. But if you ask someone who is more consciously attuned, then ultimately the realization is that all there are lessons. And so there's this dance that happens between what's happening within your system in a certain moment and what's happening collectively within a certain moment. And the lesson for each individual through that chemistry is ultimately unique, right? And so the goal of, you know, of every moment, ultimately, when something is being mobilized, there's unconscious debris coming up, et cetera, is what is the lesson here? Like what is calling to be alchemized? What is here to be integrated, you know? And so, yeah, ultimately the advice is whatever is uniquely coming up with you, it needs to be sat with, it needs to be contemplated, it needs to be observed. Yeah, you need to gain the gold from that.
Yeah, people need to, I think, in my opinion, is like quit equating their like triggered emotional reactions as the truth. I've said this before, emotional intelligence happens over time, emotional clarity happens over time. It's not in the moment. So if like if you're highly triggered emotionally, like do you have the ability to maybe not respond and not react and like take a moment and see if you can get to some sort of equilibrium within yourself? And act a bit more rationally in that regards. And again, at the same time, like what Joel said, if you are having these, you know, blow ups or meltdowns or, you know, posting on social media, if you voted for orange clown emoji, whatever, you know, delete me as a friend, like, will you be feeling that in a year and a half? Like, or is this just an emotional response that you are equating with, like, this is the 100% truth and I have to say it right now, the morning after the election?
Yeah, but for anyone who genuinely like acts that way, behaves that way, believes that way, like the first step really is like just reclaiming your mind to some degree, you know, because there are other people's thoughts, there are other people's conditions, other people's projections, which ultimately you're speaking through, you know. So yeah, it's hard, but it's like for any psychologically healthy, rational person observing the situation. It's hard to have a look at what happened and be like, oh, we are so much worse off because Trump got elected. You know, like the rational line of thought doesn't go to this is the worst thing in the world. I don't think.
I love so much that you said reclaim your mind. Right before this, I actually posted a couple videos on my story, just giving some hope, giving some love, giving some questions for contemplation, which your SMS, I love that you brought up, like just sitting down and thinking. We really push contemplation on the show. And yeah, I was saying like we are not our mind, right? And it's, I feel like that, I mean, we're in a war on consciousness and just seeing how quickly people are pulled down. And it's just like trigger, boom, like I'm in it. I'm giving all of my energy and attention to this emotion, to this experience, to this belief, to this post, whatever it may be. And just again, you know, for our listeners, like always that invitation to remember, like we are not our mind. We are not what's happening in this 3D world. And, you know, can we come back to center
a mantra that's always helped me in those moments of deep, deep, deep activation and triggering is "This too shall pass." It's so simple, but it's so true. Like you were saying, Erasmus, in a year, are you going to feel this way? Okay, maybe not. Work your way back. In a month, are you going to feel this way? In a week? In an hour? In 10 minutes? Are you feeling this way right now? You know, like how can we re-regulate our system when we notice? Because that's the first step, right? Is being aware. I'm dysregulated. I'm acting from a place that isn't my authentic self. It's a patterning. And then choosing from that point, okay, if I'm aware that I'm acting from an unconscious place, then what is my authentic truth? What is it that I believe in that I feel? And then how can I communicate from that space instead?
That's a good point. I would love to switch gears here a little bit. You know, we could
Sure.
definitely sit and talk about the election all day, but I think it is what it is, and it's happening as it's meant to, and it's for the lessons for humanity to learn. So we can just non-judgmentally observe with love. But I know you are both married. Obviously, the show, one of our key kind of core pillars is relationships, specifically conscious relating. And as two people who have kind of chosen this path of not only walking truth personally, but walking truth in, you know, this mission in such a public way with Here for the Truth, I would love to hear from you both. You know, first of all, if you just feel comfortable sharing, you know, how your relationship, you know, how you manage that, like walking that path of truth with another being, because, you know, at least in our experience, we found it to be, you know, it can be really challenging sometimes. Like it's hard enough doing it for yourself. And then doing it in a relationship, you know, we don't have a lot of models of success for that in the world right now.
Well, I would say everyone should listen to our recent episode on Here for the Truth that Joel and I had, where we had
Your
our wives
wife's on? Yeah, I saw it.
on. Yeah, how do I handle that? I mean, I'm very blessed that I have a wife that's been on a personal development path for a long time, and like, you know, she makes this work and nervous system work and health a big part of her life, and we just keep choosing each other every day. It's not always perfect, but you know, we have a pretty, I think, healthy foundation as individuals. And then we deal with things as they come up. If you don't really know yourself, you can't really know another, because you're gonna see the person through like warped lenses and a distorted way. And so again, in partnership, like each individual needs to do their work. They need to have a self-knowing. And so that's, I mean, we're fortunate that we get along really well. We have similar worldviews. And then when stuff comes up, like I said before, we take personal responsibility. I mean, she usually admits that I'm right 100% of the time, but you know, just play. Just a joke for your listeners. You know,
That's
if you haven't
funny.
listened to the podcast, understand my humor. But yeah, we just have an open line of communication. We keep it real with one another. We respect, we're kind and generous to one another. We understand each other's love languages. You know, that's one, I mean, we have similar ones, so that helps. So yeah, we just manage it kind of day by day. And of course, I made the decision to get married, what, over 5 years ago now? Is it 5 years? I'm losing track. Yeah, over 5 years.
We lost
And
track at 5 years too. That was kind of the one where we were like, eh, it's a long time.
yeah, you know, yeah, we've been together, what, double that around. And I'm blown away sometimes, because I thought I was never going to get married. Like I was kind of someone who was like, I'm just going to do my own thing, travel around the world, like partnership, commit, long-term commitment isn't for me. And it changed, you know, as you go through your own evolutionary process, you realize what you really want in life, what you want to build, what you want to create. Things are going pretty well so far, but we're still human. We still have our patterns. We still have the shit we have to navigate that goes on, the thinkings, the thoughts, the all in all, it's like we've chosen partnership. We've chosen this container. And so what do we do to nurture that? On top of each individual doing what they need to do to nurture themselves and take care of themselves.
I just love that you brought that full circle, the kind of what you started with and what you ended with about choice, because it is a choice, you know, like it is a choice every single day to so some things we say on the show a lot are like radical commitment, you know, radical commitment to self-love, radical commitment to this partnership, you know, to this other person's spiritual journey. And I think or a personal development journey, if you want to call it that. I think, you know, that is a really key piece that's missing in many of the unconscious relationships in our world, is it's kind of this like unspoken agreement of like, we're just going to be comfortable, right? Like, we're not going to call out each other's shit unless we're fighting. And then we're just going to kind of like brush it under the rug and keep going and do it the way we've always done it. And the hardest part to me about conscious relating, especially in this partnership, is holding him accountable, right? Like, it's holding myself accountable radically and caring enough about him to hold his path, in just as high of a regard for me. So thank you for, talking about it being a choice, because it really is.
Yeah, I want to add something too. Like, another thing with relationship is that very often one partner or both partners want to control and create certain things in the other partner. And I think one of the important things of a long-term partnership is like acceptance as well. Like, your partner's different than you, especially if you understand like astrology or human design or other systems like that. Like, my wife is different than me. Like, beyond the fact that she's a woman and I'm a man and there are differences, she has a different way of being in the world. Her personality is different. And so, like, I need to understand that and honor that and respect that and realize that she's not gonna operate the way I'm gonna operate. She might not think about things in the same way. And so there are times where, and I'm not always the greatest at this, like, I just need to shut the fuck up and just be there with her and listen instead of coming in and fixing and providing a solution, because I'm a man of solutions in a lot of areas of my life. And so it's like she can be talking about things and be emotional about certain things. And my one part of my mind is like, just this, that, cool, we're great, let's move on. But that's not what it's about. Sometimes she just needs to go through her own thing and her own process. And so, and she has her own little habits, and I have my habits. And it's like, you just, well, it, just ex accepting people for their idiosyncrasies and their individual quirks are important, or fucking leave the relationship. Like, if you don't like certain things, then leave. You know, instead of just trying to changing and molding the person in what like a very limited aspect of you wants them to be.
I heard so much there, the typical masculine feminine, right? Doing versus being. Like, we're just like being in our process and want you to just like be and listen. And masculine's just like, I can fix this. But Joel, I'd love to give you an opportunity to talk. I know you and your wife have two and one on the way, kiddos. So yeah, what does that relationship look like for you? How do you navigate this path of truth and, self-growth being in your marriage?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the first thing that I would say is that like relationship is probably the greatest teacher, you know, like the it's I primarily know myself, and probably the most important lessons that I've learned in my life have come through the vessel of relationship. Yeah, primarily with Alyssa, with my wife, but also like with friends. Like, Erasmus is a primary relationship as well, in a different capacity, obviously. But when we met, like, I was quite psychologically immature, you know. I really hadn't looked at my shadow in any real capacity. I was in a state of detachment. I had escapist tendencies psychologically, very much so. I was a boy, you know, in many capacities. And through the process of relating and learning and growing, I'd like to think I'm more of a man now. But again, like, you have to be consciously attuned to be able to glean the lessons, acquire and integrate the lessons that are coming forth. And if not, you're just going to continue in this pattern of repeating, you know, your own developmental traumas and your own conditioning processes. And so it hurts. It fucking sucks when someone calls you out on your shit, when someone doesn't let you get away with the things that your mom let you get away with, or your dad let you get away with, or whatever it might be. Like, it's confronting, and that causes a lot of relationships to end and to break, etc. You have to value growth more than you value comfort. And this applies to every single thing in life. And ultimately, through my process, I've come to realize, I think, particularly for Alyssa, but I think universally among women, is like, they don't really like their feelings don't really lie. You know, what they're feeling and what's coming up emotionally. Generally, I've come to understand that there's something really, really important there for me to learn, and for me to realize. And there's many times, and it can go on for a long time, where like I'm not understanding, and I'm not getting it. And I rationalize what's happening, and I'm self-averting from looking at what's going on. For me, I've just come to value Alyssa as a teacher in my life, and I think that's why we continue to grow in the way that we do.
That's really beautiful. I love so much the thing you said. I know you have something you want to say about relationships being our biggest teacher. Most of the people we have on the show say that. I think it's something we can all agree on, especially romantic relationships, because you can't hide here. Like, you just can't. Like, this is the ultimate mirror. And especially when you're walking some type of path of growth or consciousness and truth, especially in this world that we're living in, like, you're gonna be confronted. You're gonna be confronted with all your shit, as you called it. So, thanks for pointing that out, because we really firmly believe that. And it's a mission of the show, is encouraging people to also translate that out to all of our relationships. You know, it doesn't just have to be our romantic ones.
And it's like I think we have a mis we have a skewed idea of what love re is really meant to look like, and particularly romantic love. You know, we've been programmed in many ways through Disney and other media, and we have these, you know, exacerbated ideas of what those things look like. But I think the most powerful aspect of love is like, can you love when you really fucking don't feel like loving? You
Yeah.
know? And I think that's when love begins. Like we mistake the honeymoon period when everything feels so easy and so connected, and this is my person, et cetera, as the real thing. I don't think that's the real thing. I think that is heightened through our physiological and sexual, biological responses, et cetera. But once that wears off and we start seeing the other person without the rose-colored glasses, and it feels like we don't really, it feels harder to love, that's when the work of love really begins.
I love that experience. Thank you both for sharing. You know, that honeymoon phase, that initial attraction is what helps bring us together. But I firmly believe, like you're saying, you know, the real work comes in everything that follows after. You know, that's such a small blip. And I've noticed, at least in this partnership, is we kind of go through these ebbs and flows, in that you have this strong attraction, this strong passion, this feeling of deep love that we perceive as what love should be like all the time. And then we're offered a challenge. We're offered an opportunity for growth. And when we both come together and choose love and choose to work through those challenges and learn that lesson, we peel like a layer on the onion and go to a depth that we didn't know was previously accessible. And then that kicks off another honeymoon phase of attraction and passion of, wow, we made it through. You know, this new depth that we touched. And then the ego wants to be like, great, this is where we're gonna live forever. And the true nature of it, from what I perceive in relationship, is that there's infinite depth that we can get to, and we can just continue going deeper and deeper and deeper, and growing closer in attraction and closer in love, and reaching higher highs by actually tackling deeper challenges. You know, it's like progressing through the video game of life. You know, we don't just like cruise on level one for the rest of our life. Every time that we overcome a challenge, we get the opportunity to go deeper. And
Now,
go
beautifully
ahead.
said, man. That's not beautifully said. That's my experience as well. It's that kind of cyclical nature of it, you know, for sure.
Yeah, and something too that you spoke to is just the intuition of the feminine is so powerful. You know, something that I was sitting with just this morning. We've been working through an experience of having different ideological beliefs and the approach of the election and how we chose to operate in that system. And part of my patterning has been deeply changing my beliefs and the way that I act based off of what I perceive other people's needs are. So essentially acting from an inauthentic place. Before it was projecting onto my parents, then it was my partner. And so moving into this election, I chose to participate in the voting process from a place of thinking that I was sovereign. I can participate in this election because I'm a conscious person, and so my vote means more. And so I have a duty and a responsibility to, you know, add my fuel to the fire. And through this experience and what I've learned from, the outcome of the election, I realized, was that really necessary? Or was I actually just participating from a place of fear? In that if I felt like if I didn't participate, I was acquiescing to the system and that I wasn't allowing and having faith in the fact that things would play out the way they were meant to play out, which is exactly what my partner was telling me. And after the fact, there was a heated debate and my partner reacted out of an emotion that was so viscerally palpable that it actually stopped me in my tracks and I was like, maybe I'm the one that's entrenched. Maybe I'm the one that's not actually being open to, and I was trying to control the outcome of my partner so much of saying like, no, you're not accepting my perspective, that I was actually not being in an open and receptive space myself. And when I see that emotion play out in such a visceral manner in my partner, it's a clear indication of like, maybe it's something for you to consider. Because you're right, the emotions don't lie. There's no way to fake or avoid truth when it comes out in a partnership. And it really gave me an opportunity to reflect and sit with that and be open to a different perspective. And when I started creating safety for myself in that situation, rather than trying to control my partner in a way that I would feel safe, I was able to mold and shift my perspective to a higher one.
Oh, man,
Yeah.
yeah. Just the one thing I'd add to that is I made a post yesterday, and there's been some discussions in the comments. And
I saw it.
I think that you can partake in the system and still be sovereign. I don't think that voting means that you're not sovereign. I think sovereign is you thinking for yourself, you reaching your own conclusions, you making your own being the final arbiter of truth, and then making a decision from there. Because there's so many people that are just regurgitating. Voting is slavery. Voting is slavery. But they really haven't gone down the process themselves to reach those conclusions. That's just what their heroes and their role models and their influencers are repeating. And so they've just outsourced their mind to that person who they think has it all together now, you know? So I think, so sovereignty is you genuinely forming your own conclusions and making your own individual decision despite the noise, because the herd gets smaller and smaller and smaller. There's the mainstream herd, and there's the freedom community herd, and there's the truth community herd, and there's still herds upon herds upon herds, you know? So, yeah.
You touched on something really powerful, and it leads right into my next question that I've been really dying to ask y'all. There are, it's just herds on herds on herds, right? Like, yeah, there's so many camps, and I just, being fascinated by human psychology and human behavior, I've been really detachfully watching this and just being like, I find this to be really fascinating. I'm curious from both of your perspectives, how do you define truth? You have this beautiful show, right? That's been going for years now. It's called Here for the Truth. And obviously, this is like a really big long answer, but like at its core, what does truth mean to each of you? Like, what does that look like in your experience? And what is that mission that you're trying to push on with this show?
What does truth mean to me? Feel like it's being as attuned to reality as you can be. And being really, really curious on what makes you tick, why you do the things you do, why you think the things you think. Again, that's from a more internal place. Yes, our show is called Here for the Truth, and we'll have episodes about things going on in the world and our thoughts on different subjects and potential conspiracies and things happening. But ultimately, I just think self-knowledge is the foundation of all knowledge. And so, do you know who you are? Do you know this gift of life that you've been given? What is your purpose in life? How do you work through, the conditioning and some of the BS that has been fed upon you, that has been put upon you, to get closer to this internal state where you love who you are and you love what you do and you love learning and you love growing and you love building conscious relationships and you start dancing, you start dancing with life. There's more flow and fluidity, and it's not about perfection. It's about this continuous evolution and growth. Like, That's what it is for me, you know. And in terms of things in the external world, like you just got to check yourself. Like, just people are so quick to like communicate that they are certain. I have certainty. I know. You don't know. They don't know. I'm the one who knows. And like, I just think more and more people need to just slow down and get a grasp on why they're thinking what they're thinking and how they respond based off of that. But again, it's not perfect. It's messy. Like, I don't have all the answers. I don't think I'm like this all-knowing truth teller. I'm just living my life. I'm just being me and kind of being an investigator and being curious about what's happening and trying to have some common sense and trying to check myself when I feel like I know 100% that I'm right. You know, in a lot of ways, I feel like I've done the work and I've done what's necessary to build a certain level of knowledge and understanding and really connect deeply to my intuition to navigate life. Like in a lot of ways, I live an awesome life. Like the proof is in the pudding, you know, the proof is in the choices that you make every single day and that leads you to who you are. Yeah, that's what I have to say on that.
Two things came up for me, and then Joel, we'd love to hear your perspective on this as you were talking. Your SMOs is we just had last episode that aired yesterday, Aaron Abke on the show, and something that he said that was so powerful is only thing that he knows that has proven in his experience time and time again is love, and that love is the answer, right? And that love is kind of this core fabric. And I was hearing that as you were kind of talking, like you're saying, like everyone is so quick to be like, I know. And it triggered a memory when we watched your live podcast at Music and Sky with Alex Zek, who we'll be having on the show, you know, early next year. Something, I think it was him, definitely correct me if I'm wrong, but one of you, I think it was him, was talking about like how people say like my truth, my truth, my truth, right? My truth is this. And it's kind of become like we can just kind of add those words. You see people add those words like my truth is this. And well, I've said it's my truth, and so now it's truth, right? And I think that kind of goes hand in hand as we start to build on and deconstruct like what truth is and what personal truth is and what authentic truth is. I just kind of always hear that in the back of my mind, and it makes me giggle a little bit because I'll see it now on social media, like people being like, well, my truth is this.
There's subjectivity, of course, you know, and there's
Yeah.
objectivity and like, you know, like your emotional reactions in the moment are true to you. Now, whether or not they're based on some foundation truth, that's a whole nother, you know, thing. You know,
Yeah.
again, like when you're in partnership, like you all could be screaming at one another and both of you can miss the point on what the hell's really happening, you
Yeah.
know, but it's real to you, you know, you're crying, you're getting angry. I just have to like say earlier you had meant like you had said about what Aaron said, like, you know, all he knows is love or love is the answer or that's the only thing that's true. And I just feel like that's also one-sided because there's so many elements to being a human being that I know. Like I know love, I know fucking rage, I know anger, I know silliness, I know sadness, I know a lot of things that I experience on a day-to-day basis. Love is an amazing thing and a beautiful thing and deep and awesome, but I just feel like it's a little bit more nuanced than that, in my opinion.
Yeah,
Yeah, well,
totally respect that.
love when coming from a place of truth can be anger. It can be a strong boundary. It can be ending a relationship. Because like I mentioned before, in Scott Peck's definition, love being genuinely interested in the spiritual development of another person, sometimes that's what that person's spiritual development requires. It requires some toughness. It requires a healthy boundary. It requires sternness. You know, there's a slippery slope where we can easily misconceive love as the general idea that we get that, well, we're always connected, we're always forgiving,
Warm, it's warm and fuzzy, you
we're always
know.
accepting, it's always warm and fuzzy. Like that's not how I view love. I view love through the sense through the lens of truth. In terms of the prime question, there's aspects and there's layers to truth. You know, there's like you guys have discussed, there is objective truth, right? Ayn Rand said the law of existence is that A equals A. When you observe A, it's A in all matters of reality. And then obviously, like we've mentioned, there's subjective truth, there's personal truth. I'm a Scorpio, he's a Gemini. That's my truth, right? There is my truth. It does actually exist. My mom was like this, his mom was like this, etc. We do have personal truths. But I think the key thing, you know, when it comes to truth is this idea of coherence, you know. And I think very often we can try to ascertain truth from an incoherent place. And I think the way to come closer to the truth when it comes to an internal process is understanding coherence. And so by understanding ourselves, understanding when we're being motivated from a place of fear, from a place of scarcity, from a place of lack, et cetera, and checking ourselves in this way. And so there's this idea that's called the apophatic process. And so in most cases, the better question is not what is truth, but what is not truth, because it's a lot easier to discern what is not truth. And I think throughout our lives, if you're consciously attuned, you start peeling away what is not true, what is not true, what is not true, what is not true. And ultimately you come to a place that is closer to truth than from your starting point with all your ideas, all your misconceptions, all your judgments, all your et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One thing that I love is that, you know, in the I guess philosophy of self-esteem, we often ask the question, are my decisions being motivated by joy or are they being motivated by fear? And what I've found is that when I find that my motivations are coming from a place of joy, a place from expansion, a place from growth, that is much more closer to the truth for me than the opposite.
I love that so much. It's something we always say here. I've never heard it as joy versus fear. We usually say love versus fear, but I love what both of you said there. I have one more thing I'd love to ask you, and either one of you that wants to go first. What do you feel like is the hardest part for you on your truth/love/conscious relating journey? What's the most challenging part for you that you're navigating right now, and how are you navigating that?
Can you say that again?
What is the most challenging part of your, you can be take it love, truth, or a conscious relating journey at this time, and how are you navigating that?
I would say that the toughest part is those moments where I want to lie to myself and bullshit myself and old patterns come in, you know? Because it's like we grow, we evolve, but we have many aspects to us. Like the great Walt Whitman quote, we contain multitudes. We have many parts to who we are. And so, you know, very often some aspects of us we're able to separate from and they don't really play a role in our day-to-day thinking and thought forms, behavior, emotions. But there are certain things that like weigh on us that are there, you know, certain patterns, certain things that keep like, why do these thoughts keep coming, are like looping in my head, you know? So I just feel like what's tough is being present with truth. Like this is real to me. I don't want to distract it away. I don't want to turn to drugs, alcohol, social media, all the different ways we self-medicate and we distract ourselves from what's happening. So I think the hardest part often is like staying true to yourself in that regards and all of you and being honest with yourself and going like, I'm not perfect. I don't have everything figured out and I don't need to fucking lie to myself. You know, very often we want to present to others and to the world like, ooh, I'm at this evolved state and like I've worked through that. And maybe in a lot of things you have, but I know enough people and I know myself, there's a lot of bullshit that goes on there. You know, like it's okay to struggle. It's okay to go two steps forward and one step back. It's okay for things not to be perfect. The challenging part sometimes is to not want to accept that, to not want to pay attention to that, if that makes sense.
Oh, that makes total sense. That's been my experience in this journey too. I don't know if you're familiar with the Gene Keys at all, but in that wisdom teaching, for anybody who's not familiar with that, there's essentially a gift level and a shadow level of what we're experiencing in our reality. And for me, one of those gift level for me is vulnerability. And there's this opportunity to go to such deep depths. And the shadow that keeps me from going into that vulnerability is that dishonesty. And that desire to not face, you know, what's coming up and just be like, yeah, no, that we healed that. That's not coming up again. Right. And it's like, can we be honest with ourselves of the fact that we are living a human experience, that we're here to, yes, be in the experience of love and light and all the woo-woo stuff, but also in the shit, you know, and be part of the healing process, because that's what we came down here to do. And like you were saying, the hardest part is being present with that sometimes of just being like, you know, we've been on this journey for years. why is this pattern coming back up again? Or why is this pattern coming back up for my partner again? And navigating the stories that my ego tells me of, see, you never really healed it, or see, you're not enough. And, and trying to provide these baits and these hooks, and it's up to us to decide whether or not we're going to attach to that, or if we're just gonna love and consciously observe those thought patterns, be present in that uncomfortability, and allow it to pass.
Well said. Joel, what about you? Do you want me to repeat the question or you got it?
You go for it. You can repeat it.
Okay. Yeah. What do you feel like is the most challenging part in your love slash truth slash conscious relating journey, and how are you navigating that?
Well, as you mentioned before, I have two kids. I've got a third on the way. I currently live abroad. We don't have, like parents or in-laws and stuff around, etc. I am, on co-entrepreneuring with Erasmus and building a business. And so it's meeting the daily requirements, meeting what life asks of me on each day is the biggest challenge on this journey. Like providing for my family, ensuring my kids are properly attuned to and, are educated well, maintaining my relationship with my wife, doing all the things, man. Like that's a lot of responsibility. And, each day I enter the battle, and I hope that I've done the work necessary to do what's necessary to meet their needs and to connect with, all the things that I need to connect with as consciously as possible. And also meeting my own needs. Like I've got my own dreams, my own passions, my own goals, and filling all those cups and juggling all those balls and doing that as best as I can, juggling all those balls. That's my biggest challenge each day.
Oh my God.
As a lot. I had a feeling that was going to be something to your answer. Kudos to you both for walking the journey, of love and of truth. And I mean, even just like making that conscious decision to do that is so huge. It's something that, as we are seeing, a large majority of the collective is not doing right now. And so, invitation for some grace with yourself. And, you mentioned something that I think is a perfect thing to close us out here. You talked about like the things for yourself. I was actually listening to one of your episodes with the commandments in it, and one of them was like, was talking about like, how love is selfish. And I would love so much if y'all could plug, more than just Here for the Truth. Like that's a beautiful show, and we love what you're doing with that. But you're also like beings with your own individual past. And so, Joel, your music, seeing you at Music and Sky, it was a very emotional experience. It was a very beautiful and palpable experience of a being going out and, pouring their heart into this creative endeavor, and it's amazing. So I'd love if you touch on that and your Erasmus, if there's anything in your sphere. And I know together you have some entrepreneurial endeavors you're doing. So please tell us and our listeners, and we'll definitely plug it all in the show notes as well.
Thank you.
Sure, thank you so much. Yeah, I guess music has always been a primary passion for me. Like it was the first thing that really made me feel alive. It was the first thing I really attached to and I wanted to spend time alone doing. I remember being like 9, 10 years old, just finding this thing and just being locked in my bedroom, just making music. And for my entire life, I always thought, that's just what I was going to do. And so to be able to come back to music and, release my first album in 10 years has been an amazing process. And for me, like, what are we as human beings if not, creative potential? We're just walking vessels of creative potential. And for me, when the muse comes and visits and stirs that creative potential in me, it's like I've got no choice but to latch on and to see that process through ultimately, because that's what makes me feel alive more than anything else is that. And yeah, obviously I'd collected a lot of experiences and lessons which I was able to feed into that album, which is out now. It's called Scorpio for those listening. I go by Joel Rafiti. There's no MC name. You can search Joel Rafiti on Spotify or Apple Music or whatever, and you'll find that. And yeah, getting the chance to perform. I just yeah, thank you so much. I'm glad that it was received in the way that it was received. And yeah, very grateful to be able to give that.
Yeah, I love Joel's album.
Barking dog again. You're asking us, you want to go ahead?
I love Joel's album, so I hope everyone goes out to listen to it because it's deep. The lyrics are amazing, the tunes, the sounds, like it's a beautiful album from start to finish, and I've listened to it many, many times.
There was I love so much, you said you're Scorpio, he's Scorpio, 6 out of 13 Scorpio. But the song specifically, you were talking about you and your wife's miscarriage and just like that process. And I mean, to see a masculine artist get up there and embody that and share that with the world was really healing for us. We've navigated that journey. It was a really big part of our past. And so yeah, listeners, check it out. It's really beautiful art. Erasmus, what's in your sphere? Like what lights you up outside of going on tangents on Here for the Truth?
Yeah, what lights me up? Man, I feel like my life has gone through all these different elements to it. But right now, obviously, what I'm building with Joel is great. 4.5 years ago, my wife and I moved from one place to another place. We're in Topanga, California now, and we have a lot more land. And we've been kind of going on the, I wouldn't call it homesteading. I call it bougie homesteading, but like we're definitely doing the bougie homesteading. Journey, connecting it with to nature more and really learning more, a little bit more about permaculture and fruit trees. And so there's a lot of responsibilities on the home front that I have that I'm enjoying. I'm enjoying like learning and wanting to be a steward to the land and bring more life back to the land. 'Cause I just think about like, wow, in 5 years, like to take 2 areas of our property that were pretty much barren with like weeds and dirt and to turn them into, the Garden of Eden, in a sense. That's something that I'm really excited about. Other than that, we love building community. So starting in like 2021, we really started focusing on building community here and holding gatherings, especially in California when we were treated like second-class citizens. It was nice to have a to be a hub and a space to bring people together again that were similar-minded. And so we've cultivated and helped nurture a really awesome community here in Southern California, which I'm really proud of. And I feel blessed to have met so many incredible people. Yeah, I mean that pretty much, I mean, I got two cats, two kittens now. Well, technically four. We had a feral cat and another feral cat, but two kittens we got that I'm in love with. And I hated cats. I hated cats my whole life. I never liked cats. I was allergic to cats. I was a dog person, and I am obsessed now, especially one of them. Speaking of love, my wife and I are just in this place of like, we just want to keep bringing more love into our life, in all the ways. It's like, all right, another cat showed up on our property. Cool. More love. My mom's staying with us and visiting for a month. And it's like, more love. We've contemplated bringing a child into this world. So it's like, fuck it. More love. Let's keep bringing more love into our life. So yeah, that's kind of, where we're at. I'm in an interesting stage of my life. I'm 44 years old and yeah, well, it continues on, but I do want to reiterate, like, I still am amazed to have met Joel. He's someone I deeply respect and admire. I have
More love.
pretty high standards with people, and he's the real deal. Back end game has slipped a little bit lately, but other than that.
That's funny. I really appreciate the authenticity and the clear connection that the both of you have and the deep reverence and the respect that you have for one another. That's a different level of conscious relationship and that you're able to help support one another on your own path of personal development. And, Joel, to what you were saying earlier about reconnecting with something that you had put down for a while, that resonates a lot with me. Architecture has and always has been my spark. Since I was a kid, I was like, I'm gonna be an architect. And through this consciousness journey, I laid down those tools for a bit, and recently been called to re-embody them from a conscious place. And it really comes.
She's literally almost never barked on an episode ever. We're like almost 50 episodes in, and we get three
I feel
in-y'all's
like your audience
episode.
is like, come on, we want to hear the
We
bark.
want to
Let's
hear
go.
the bark,
I
right?
keep depriving us the bark.
I might just leave him in. I might just not edit him out, but go ahead.
But I mean that's really what it is. Like you were talking about, coming from a place of authenticity and finding your spark and birthing it into this world, right? That's what it is. Like each one of us has this piece to this super intricate and beautiful puzzle that is this reality. And when we do what authentically fills our cup and that we're meant to birth into this world, we add to that. We create this beauty that only we can create. And Joel, like I've listened to a couple of your songs, but I can't wait to dive fully into your album and to see the depth to which you created in there. Because if the few songs that I listen to are any indication to what you are capable of and what you're birthing into this world, I can only imagine. And so really looking forward to that. And you're awesome, us, stewarding land is no small thing. That when the land calls you, it calls you. And to consciously go and build community and steward land in a way where you are in conscious relationship with the earth, that is a very powerful thing. That is love, Go
It's gonna
ahead.
be patience too, like working in nature and like
Well,
planning
yeah.
and being like, oh wow, it's gonna be years before I enjoy the fruit of this tree.
Literally.
The
Yeah,
earth works
literally.
on
You're like,
you as much as you work on it. Like it is a very
or like you
reciprocal
plant a tree and
relationship.
then 2 years later, like just like conditions aren't ideal, like a gopher fucking eats it or it dies, and you're like, like you really, it's an interesting process for sure, not to mention like dealing with nature and floods and crazy shit, but it's been cool. But real quickly, since you said you're an architect, I want to say, have you read The Fountainhead by Ayn
I was
Rand?
gonna recommend the same
I've
book.
not. I'll have to take a look into it. The
Yeah,
Fountainhead.
yeah.
Yeah,
Read
yeah.
The Fountainhead by Ayn Rand. The main protagonist is an architect, but Ayn does an incredible job in storytelling her philosophical ideas through that. So I think you'd love it, yeah.
Appreciate that.
Thanks for the rec. I would love to end us, Erasmus, you just said it so beautifully. I mean, you both touched on it. More love. That is the core foundation of the show, and just really encouraging people, whatever it is, whatever your authentic truth is, cultivate that and bring more love into this world. We need it. We need it so badly right now, and it's so healing. And I just really feel passionate, and I also feel a really deep sense of hope and beauty for the world we can leave our children, your children, our future children, your Erasmus, of just that has more love, has more authenticity. It's where we're headed, and I love that we're all birthing this together. So thank you both so much for doing Here for the Truth, doing your work, doing all the things you do, tending land, music, children, all of it is so important. And we're just sending you both so much love and support in that journey. And thanks for giving us a little bit of a window into how you're navigating this wild thing called life.
No worries. Also, we just want to mention too, we do beyond our podcast Here for the Truth, we have our 10-week group coaching program, Rise Above the
Yeah.
Herd. We're currently in our 11th run. We usually run a few times a year.
Nice.
Pretty much just continues on a lot of the stuff we talked about today, which is really, owning yourself and walking your path, what's right for you authentically, and dissolving away a lot of conditioning that disempowers and really embrace a deeper self, psychological self-understanding and philosophy as well that empowers you to stand in truth and to rise above the herd,
Yeah.
Aptly named. I love that name.
Yeah.
Anything you want
And
to say before I close out?
yeah, I mean, imagine if we could approach every situation in life in the way that Erasmus described what he's experiencing right now, of just saying, opportunity for more love. What if each and every opportunity that we are given in this life, we choose the perspective that it's an opportunity for us to bring more love into this world?
And the thing that's important for many of us, we need to really get clear and be curious about the barriers that are keeping us from welcoming in more love and giving more. That's a piece of the puzzle. It's very easy to just bypass all that and go, yay, I read a book and I put on a robe and I fucking meditated and I'm all love. Like it was only that simple.
Retweet that. Well, thank you both so much. We really appreciate you and listeners. Check out Here for the Truth. Cultivate that love and that truth in your life, whatever it looks like. And just remember, authenticity is our greatest superpower.
Well said. Thank you guys. Take care.